expired. Do you have anything urgent?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you took this case at our request, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf for accepting. Okay. Next case for argument: United States versus Fisk. Ms. Wagoner.
Thank you. May it please the court, Mr. Warden, and all ladies and gentlemen here present, on behalf of Salim Cisse, I would like to express his thanks for having the opportunity to participate in the appellate process here. I'm painfully aware of how the guidelines are usually interpreted and constructed. However, in this case, Mr. Cisse received a two-level increase because his co-participant in the crime doctored a Social Security number that was lawfully issued to Salim Cisse by one number. Unfortunately, when he did that, that one number was assigned to an infant, Jacob Bowman.
A good question for you really was, the essence of your point seems to be that this guideline ought to be applied only when you know you're using somebody else's Social Security number. And I don't see that in the guidelines, and B, it seems to me entirely plausible that even a little toddler could have all sorts of mischief from somebody else out there using his real Social Security number. Maybe his parents have a bank account for him, maybe, you know, these records stay around forever, as we know, and if the guideline takes the position that it doesn't really matter how you happened on this number, if it really belongs to somebody else, then the enhancement is required, that would strike me as a rational system.
It seems to me that if somebody is using a Social Security number that's not that person's own, whether it belongs to someone else or not, they should stand in the same stead.
Why? You're inflicting more harm on society if it really does belong to another person.
But if you're not aware that
Why does that change the harm to Jacob Bowman, though, whether he's aware of it or not?
I don't think it changes the harm to Jacob Bowman, but it certainly changes the individual defendant.
Well, I don't understand that, because it's hardly a surprise to find out that if you change one digit, there's somebody with that number. So it would be extremely reckless.
Right.
If you didn't have, you know, specific knowledge that it was someone's number, it certainly would be well within the risk that you knowingly create when you start fiddling with Social Security numbers.
I don't dispute that, but I think it underscores the irrationality, the inflexibility.
It sounds perfectly sensible to me.
Well, in the case of Doe v. Cal, which I submitted in supplemental authority, the United States Supreme Court just this February said that when a government agency intentionally misuses someone's Social Security number, that person is not allowed to recover money damages for emotional distress. They have to be actually harmed.
But the thing is here, we're talking about a different context, sentencing guideline enhancements. Sometimes the sentencing guidelines provide for enhancements for reasons related to the culpability of the defendant. Sometimes they provide for enhancements for reasons relating to the harm that's being inflicted on society. Vulnerable victim, for example, might be the second type. And as long as the harm is there for the person whose number has accidentally or recklessly, as it were, been created, it just doesn't seem that odd that the guidelines would say you are now a more culpable person. You should serve a longer sentence.
Well, I think the guidelines do take that into account where they encourage upward departures where there has been substantial harm or a very distressing and complex.
But why have to go to an upward departure when we already have the guideline that says you adjust upward if you've used another real person's number?
I just, to me, there should be some intent on behalf of the actor. you know, the use.
You don't have those texts that support that, do you?
Well, the commentary, or excuse me, the amendment number 596 is where there was all the discussion about basic kinds of theft, such as taking somebody's driver's license or social security card, which requires an affirmative intentional act.
I don't understand you. Anybody who starts fiddling with these numbers knows that there's a high probability that he's going to be using someone else's number.
Well, Mr. Cisse used his own number.
Yes, of course. And it's not hardly a surprise that that if you change one digit, his number is a real person's social security number. Why wouldn't you expect that if you change a digit, that also is a real person's number?
Mr. Cisse actually had a number that was not assigned to anyone, as well as the two legitimate numbers, or two numbers that were issued to him on different occasions.
Yeah, but that's not what he's being punished for.
No.
I mean, that's not what he got the...
No,
he got
the enhancement because
right.
Mr. Fadigas...
Right, and can an argument be made that part of the reason that he only changed one digit of his number was a likelihood that there would be a legitimate number. I mean, the fact that he only changed one versus the others that were just sort of pulled out a whole cloth. Right?
I don't dispute that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ms. Wagoner. Mr. Warden?
May it please the Court, good morning. My name is James Warden. I represent the government today, as I did before the district court. The sole issue has already been focused on by Judge Wood, and I think that the commentary that was made makes clear why this enhancement is properly applied here. There is nothing in the guideline language itself. There's nothing in the commentary or the application notes. There's nothing in any of the case law that requires the intent that's being argued by the appellant today. And as the court mentioned, the harm is inherent, or certainly can.
How many gaps are there? If you change a number, what's the probability that someone else is the real person?
I had no idea, Your Honor, what the statistics.
When a person dies, is his Social Security number retired, or is it reassigned to an infant?
I know it's not.
Start over.
I know it's not reassigned.
It's not reassigned.
No, Your Honor.
I see. So there are gaps. There would be gaps.
I guess that's
millions of people have died since Social Security was.
Right.
And so we may have to go to 10-digit numbers someday.
Well, if we have enough people, I guess we will.
We're just about to hit 300 million, according to today's newspaper.
The Williams case that I cited, in that case, the defendant essentially bought from another defendant these packages that had names and Social Security numbers in them to use in a fraud. And there's no evidence in that case that the people knew whether or not these were real people's numbers or there was any intent to use the number of a real person. So the absence of any of that requirement in the guidelines makes clear that it was properly imposed here. So unless the court has any further questions, I'll rely on the brief.
Okay, thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Mr. Warden. Ms. Wagner, do you have anything further?
No.
Okay, well, thank you. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf.
Thank you, and hopefully your community
okay, next.